Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We took a week off, mostly to recover and let everything digest, as I'm sure most of you have or are in the process of doing so now. And but we're back, and we're in full off-season mode, as much as we hate to say that. But joining us once again, Daniel Cox.
Hey, hey.
And the final podcast appearance for AJ the intern.
Yes, it's gonna be a hard road and a hard pill to swallow. This was a fun ride, you know.
Well, we enjoyed having you.
I had a good ride. I really did.
You did.
It was fun.
You did a heck of a job. You're a good reader.
Well, thank you.
You're an even better singer.
I know. It comes from within.
Right. And you can tell when it, when you listen to your
melodiousness.
It is melodiousness. It is exactly that.
It's pure joy, AJ.
It is.
I can hear the joy in your heart.
And we always will here on the FalconCast podcast. Daniel and I will continue on as much as we hate to without you. But it was great having you, and we hope to make the, your last podcast a good podcast here. So I guess we could get into a couple of different things here, and we'll hopefully keep you all entertained with various topics concerning the Falcons today, and as we go through the offseason, as we get close to the draft. But let's start off with what a 2012 season.
Yeah.
I mean, what an amazing season to be a part of. And look, everybody is wanted more out of this season. We all did, and all fans did, and you know, but you cannot deny the fact that that was a fantastic season. You accomplished so much history in this season, like so many different things going on. I was extremely, extremely proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's so many tweets, so many texts after the NFC Championship game loss. You know, obviously people were upset. They're disappointed. You know, I don't think people were too disappointed in the team itself. I mean, you know, there were some opportunities there they could have gotten back, but you know, they still played a good game. And I mean, it's the NFC Championship game. It's two of the best teams technically in the NFC. And I just reminded people. I just tried to remind people that, you know, there was a lot to be proud of. You know, it was a fun season. This is still a sport, you know. This is our entertainment. You know, they gave us a lot to be entertained by this year. So
absolutely,
a lot of good memories, a lot of good moments.
Yeah, and we're actually on AtlantaFalcons.com looking back at all those moments in our best of 2012 season series. Excuse me. So make sure you check that out. We've already counted down the top games, top moments. We're going to have top performances, top plays, all those things coming up here in the next couple of days. So make sure you keep an eye out for that, because you know, we're having fun looking back on some of the things that went on in 2012.
Absolutely. We had best games of 2012 yesterday. We had, you know, the games that you would kind of expect.
Slapping
out.
Microphones.
Number five was the Panthers game, the first game of the season, the 30-28 win, the comeback there. Number four was the second Saints game, the win on, I think it was Thursday night, right?
Yep.
Number three was the Broncos game. Number two was the Giants blowout, 34-0 of Super Bowl champs. Still don't get tired of saying that. And the number one game of the season was the Falcons versus Seahawks. However, Jay, you know, I shared some things on Twitter yesterday, and some people disagreed with me a little bit on my list of the games. And this is the list that you and I had kind of collaborated on. A lot of people felt like the Saints, the win over the Saints that we had at number, what did I just say, four?
Yeah.
They had it number two.
Yeah.
Second to the Seahawks win in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I love hearing other sides of it, and that's what I love so much about doing this series every year, is you know, the different points of view and perspectives that you get. Because, you know, you and I are around the team all the time. We're around the games all the time. Like, we're fully immersed in everything. And I think, you know, from a fan's point of view, maybe some of the games stick out a little more than some of the others. And for me, it was, okay, what five games do I remember the most about? Mm-hmm. What are those five games that had me either really excited or had me really nervous? And goodness knows we had a couple of those games this year. Yeah. And so these were the five that came to my mind as five of the best games that either surprised me or excited me, or, you know, the just whatever kind of sticks out. But I can totally see, you know, being with this organization now for 3 years, any win over the Saints is a great game.
Absolutely.
So I totally see that side of it. For me, though, I think I went into that Giants game. I wasn't nervous, but, I went in expecting, like, a really close game. We all remembered what had happened the last time the Giants played the Falcons, and how their defense was able to get pressure and really get to Matt Ryan. That's where my apprehensive feeling about that game came from, and I kind of expected it to be a lot closer than it was. So to come out and play the way we did, and I thought that was one of the most complete games that the Falcons played all year.
Absolutely.
If not the complete, the most complete game that they played all year. So that, to me, I think that's what edged it up a little bit higher. But I think when it comes to rivalry games, of course, they're going to take a little bit more emphasis than some of the others, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of the fans on Twitter made some compelling points, but you're right. I think for me, I felt like just the way in which they won that game, and the fact that it was the Giants, and it's also, it was a team we, the Falcons didn't have much, had a bad day against in the playoffs the season before in 2011. Yeah. So I felt like that has, for me, that had a lot to do with it. The first tweet I got was from this guy, a Falcons fan named James Gallagher. He lives in Ireland. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
International.
Yeah, and he said, ending Breeze's record was special to him, plus living where he lived. The game ended at 5 a.m. He only got 2 hours of sleep before school. And he said the adrenaline got him through the whole day, and it was also a revenge game. So that was kind of his reasoning.
And you know what? I agree with, look, ending that record, ending that streak, and picking him off five times, picking off Breeze five times, I totally see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge, huge game. And that was exciting, but that's what I'm talking about. It's like those are those games where, like, you felt some kind of emotion coming out of that game, and I think certainly a top five game.
Absolutely,
I think it belongs in there.
Yeah.
So
no, absolutely, and maybe moving forward, I need to consider, we'll consider in the coming seasons, some wins like that. Because I don't know, I just felt like the 34-0 win was just huge.
Yeah, I think it came at the right time. Yeah, I think it was one of those wins that propelled the Falcons to the end of the season, really, and kind of, you had the whatever happened against Tampa Bay at the end of the year. But, it was that game that I think gave them the confidence that, hey, we can play with anybody, even the Super Bowl champions. So, for me, that kind of edges it out a little bit. But, man, it was sweet to watch that performance over the Saints. And the only thing you wish is that maybe we had scored a few more points on them, make it a little bit more convincing.
Yeah. Because when I was looking back over the games, the score makes it seem like the game was a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, but you remember you had that third quarter where the offense really couldn't get a whole lot going. Some third and outs, three and outs, from the Falcons offense in that game. So I just look at the Giants game as a more complete game overall. So, but this is the stuff that we love. I love it when people say, hey, I would have put this here or that there. And the other thing I love, and I encourage fans to continue to do this, those stories, like, was it James Gallagher?
Yeah, absolutely.
The stories like that where, you've got a game where maybe you couldn't talk for, like, 3 days, tweet us and tell us those stories. We love hearing that stuff. It's a lot of fun to kind of hear people's experiences. Kind of like, after the Seattle game.
Yeah.
Matt Bryant makes that kick, and for about a week leading up to the NFC Championship game, I kept seeing these YouTube videos, these cell phone videos of people who like recorded it, whether they were at home or whether they were in the Georgia Dome or wherever they were. They wanted to document that experience and their experience, and that was I watched all of them.
Yeah.
I watched a bunch.
Absolutely.
The video we put on the site from Taco Mac, where Taco Mac erupted, like throwing napkins.
Throwing napkins. It was just insane. Yeah, and all the fans, I got so many tweets about, I just want people wanting to tell me, like, where they were when it happened, and, like, my friends, you know, everybody I know watched that game.
See, and that's why, and this is maybe a good segue into the best moments list that we released today, but that's how I kind of judge the best moments, is like, what are the moments where I'll be like, where I'll look back and be like, wow, I was there, or I remember exactly what happened when that went down, or and for me, there is absolutely no better moment than Matt Bryant's kick. In that Seattle game, it was amazing, and we talked about it on the second to last podcast during the season. Just kind of our atmosphere and our kind of perspective on it, and how crazy it was. And I'll never forget that.
No, I won't either. And the funniest thing is, I'll never forget, like, especially about 3 days afterwards. Just it was like you couldn't touch me. I mean, I could have gotten a speeding ticket. It didn't matter what happened. Like I was just on cloud nine.
Right. I was the exact same way, and it was hard. I know for our perspective, I know definitely not for the players, but from our perspective, it was hard because, you know, we keep seeing like all these tweets and all these videos and everything that's coming in from fans and everything, kind of keeping us locked into that Seattle game. But certainly tough to focus on that NFC Championship game for us. As we are in touch with the fans all the time, but so clearly that's the moment I think of this season that touched so many people and that so many people will remember. And I think you could ask a lot of people, you know, where were you, you know, when that kick, you could ask them 5, 10, 15 years from now and they'll be like, oh, I was in section 134, I was, you know, I was at my buddy's house and we were with a bunch of Seattle fans and we were going nuts, you know. Those are the kinds of things, you love those stories and those are memories that you gotta, you know, just absolutely. You gotta appreciate this season for those memories.
A buddy of mine, just the timing of it, he had to go pick his dad up from the airport and he was driving on like 85 or something and he was listening to it on the radio and like the kick sailed through and he just, you know, he starts like honking his horn and you know, and like every, you know, traffic was just, it was obvious to him that other people were listening to the game and had just heard the kick too on the interstate.
How about AJ could probably lend some insight on this, but because you went outside after the kick, right? You, what was the atmosphere like outside?
The atmosphere outside was unrealistic. I mean, you had people that was just, it kind of looked like Mardi Gras to me. it really did. You had the escalators, I think it's with gate E or gate D or something.
Upper C, I think.
Upper C.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just packed. And, I mean, people was just jumping up and down, waving flags. I mean, like I said.
Dancing in the street, stopping traffic. I saw some of those videos, too.
I mean, the craziest thing that I think that I seen or that I saw was when I was videotaping the end of the game and people were literally taking off their shirts and just waving. I mean, not just men. I mean, it was a lady too. There was women. You know, I mean, they did have a shirt up under, but it still caught my eye. I'm not even gonna lie. it caught my eye, you know. But, I mean, it was just the atmosphere. I mean, and for me, like, I being a part of it and saying that, you know, I was a part of history, you know, breaking the curse, the one and done, you know, that's that's big.
It was huge.
It was absolutely huge.
And the one more moment that I do want to talk to that's on our list is Tony Gonzalez's 100th touchdown catch. And I've said it. If you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen me say it. But it has been such an honor to watch him play football. And that's another thing that I'll always remember. And we're not talking about a moment, but just the 3 years that I've been able to watch him live and up close in person. And I think just even more so is the practice, watching him during practice, before practice, after practice, the extra work that he does. And in some ways I've found that inspiring in my own life to, you know, here's a guy who's been playing for 16 years. He's gone to 13 Pro Bowls now. You know, he's accomplished so much. And yet he's still out there working like he's an undrafted rookie trying to make a team. And that's a lesson that I'll always take with me, because I really think that we can all learn from something like that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we get the questions all the time. We don't know what's going on with Tony. We don't know if he'll be back another year. I'm not going to speculate on it either, because we just don't know. But what an amazing moment to I was there for that. I know you were watching on TV in the Superdome, him catching his 100th touchdown, and unfortunately it was a loss, but still a huge moment in his career, as it was for me and mine, just being able to witness history like that.
Yeah, just the eighth player to have 100 touchdowns. You can just go on and on. The list of things that Tony Gonzalez has done is just extremely long. But you make an interesting point about practice. I think fans hear it a lot. They've heard this thing that Tony does at practice, but I don't know that it's ever really been explained. Basically, what Tony does is, while special teams is going on, ever since I can remember, ever since he's been here, Tony will be out there on the sidelines, kind of between the fields, just taking passes from anyone that will throw him the ball. And he you know, he's about a 10-15 yard distance away from that guy, and he kind of goes through his motion, and like he's running a route, like basically, you know, at the end of your route, you kind of like shuffle your feet a little bit, and he'll turn around, and the ball's right there, and he catches it. And I've seen him do that in games. And that's muscle memory at its finest, right there. And he just does it over and over.
And he practices like he plays.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
But and to go off of that, so some more insight into that is that he usually wants somebody who's not an accurate passer, you know. So I guess if Tony comes up to you, tosses you a ball, and said, "Hey, throw me some," it's not because he likes your arm,
right?
You know, because he wants those balls that are going to be like all over the place. They're going to be wobbly. They're going to be, you know, ducks or whatever. And that's how he practices. He doesn't practice that perfect catch that's going to hit him in the numbers. He practices those crazy ones.
I wonder how things are going to react to him in real life. Say if somebody tossed him some keys, I wonder if he'd do the same thing. Like, hey, can you pass me my keys? And he's just shuffling his feet.
Oh, probably.
Box out.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so, I don't want to say robotic, but it's like that automatic motion. I think it has become such a an automatic thing for him that it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, somebody throws him an orange and he does does a little bit of shuffling. But
and then do the dunk too.
Yeah, and then do the dunk too. He's dunking the. But it's just been a lot of fun watching him play. So, but that's a little sample of our best of series, and you know, I hope you all check it out on AtlantaFalcons.com. We've got a lot more good stuff, and one of the big things that I'm looking forward to is the best of Feed AJ.
Oh,
that's gonna be coming out. So if you
it's a lot of dancing. It's a little bit of let's see. A little bit of nonsense, maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe just a tad bit.
A little bit of chicanery. A little bit of tomfoolery.
Man, a whole lot of eating. Let's see. What else? Just a lot.
Tape suits.
Oh, there will be an appearance of tape suits.
Tape suits. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and I heard he was a celebrity too, Jay.
I was watching a TV show on the Travel Channel, and they were doing this special. It was with Anthony Bourdain,
yeah.
And they were doing this special on things to do in Atlanta.
Right, I saw that.
And
saw some of it.
They featured a Falcons tailgate as like one of the things that you've got to do if you come to Atlanta. And shout out to the fans for, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is really
awesome.
Cool.
Like one of the things you have to do in Atlanta is tailgate at a Falcons game. That's awesome. And they showed, we don't know his name, but he's a common character outside.
There's so many things there's a couple things we got to do in the off season. We got to figure out who this is.
Yes.
Supposedly there's a billboard on 85 South that is requesting that Tony Gonzalez.
I've heard about that.
One more season.
I've heard about
and
that.
And then I heard about the oldest Falcons fan who's supposedly been to like every game since 1966.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got his name. I'm going to work on that. So we got some sleuthing to do this.
Yeah, there's quite a few. And we've got to find out who Falcons Moses is as well. We've seen it. You got it.
That is true. I did see him at the game.
Did you?
Yeah, and I wondered who he was. But, you know, he was taking pictures, him and, you know, all our other crazy fans. So yeah, it's it's been a lot to take in. I have seen some craziness down here,
mm-hmm. And it's mean, and you will take it with you wherever you go next.
Wherever I go next, I mean it's just unrealistic. I mean, I have seen some stuff in my life.
I'm sure you have.
I mean,
well, give people an idea. You worked at a hospital.
Yeah, I worked at a hospital.
You also worked at Victoria's Secret for how many years?
I worked at Victoria's Secret for 5 years.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
a lot.
Daniel didn't know that.
I knew you were there. I just didn't know it was 5 years.
Yeah, five years. He worked
there all through college in a year.
On the sales floor, right?
On the sales floor and in the back. So, I have seen my fair share. I mean, then when I come down here, I seen people walk cats.
I mean, at your apartment complex?
At my apartment complex. It's like, man, like, what am I going to see next? And then I see the tape guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned about the lady at the Falcons games that dress up. You
mm-hmm.
know? And it's just a lot to take in, man. It felt like I was in New Orleans, man. Like, it did.
You don't want to say that.
Well, it felt like I was in Las Vegas because I heard some crazy people out there.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Cool. Lots of things to see in Atlanta is the point.
You also learned about Sasquatch.
Oh!
Yeah. You sure did. Watching that.
I still got to go squatching while I'm
down. Yeah. Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah, finding Bigfoot.
Daniel Cox. You can blame Daniel Cox for that.
Bigfoot.
Yep.
You know, hey, I heard they do roam around in these neck of the woods.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna have to make that happen.
Maybe that's your last day party.
Yeah,
we take you squatching.
Go walk through the woods.
Anyway, back to football a little bit. if I can get your attention, fellas. Pro Bowl just concluded. We had three guys there, Julio Jones, William Moore, Thomas Dekou. The two safeties had fantastic games. And Julio played the first series. Folks still don't know why, you know, he didn't play. He's not hurt or anything like that. And look, it's common in those situations for guys to not want to take the injury risk. And this is just me totally speculating. I don't know.
Yeah.
My guess, like if I had to guess, I would say he probably just said, you know, I don't want to risk the injury.
Yeah.
And be out there. That's all that says to me. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't seen Julio since and hadn't had a chance to talk to him, but great game by those two though. Dekou and Moore had the interception. Dekou had a bunch of tackles and also recovered an onside kick on the kick return team. So good job all around, I think, by those two guys. And the other thing I love about that is that those two guys truly appreciate that honor.
Yeah.
You know, and so did Julio. Julio had a blast. I saw he did a lot of volunteer work there. Mm-hmm. Just a great experience for all three of those guys, and you like to see, you know, the guys go who like really appreciate
it. Yeah, you know, William Moore and Thomas Dekou, especially Thomas, and he, you know, he's known for this now, but you know, all over social media all week,
mm-hmm.
you know, great photos, and you know, he repeatedly saying how much he appreciated being there. And yeah, those guys, I'm really happy that those guys got to go. I think we kind of, you know, trumpeted up their calls a little bit all season, and I was happy to see that they got the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, AJ, you got something?
Yeah, I don't know if this is correct or if I looked at this wrong or heard it wrong, or I don't know if it's the wrong sport, but isn't the person, the team, the conference that wins the Pro Bowl wins the Super Bowl? Is that how it goes?
I think you're thinking of the World Series, like the Major League Baseball, the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage in the World Series.
Something like that.
Yeah, no, that's... They don't give you the Super Bowl for trophy for winning the so anyways, Pro Bowl, though, you know, I don't know how much you watch. I watched the whole game. For me, I noticed a huge difference in effort, I think, just from the players. And we've heard Commissioner Goodell say, hey, you know, if these guys don't want to play it, we'll just get rid of it. And it looked like the players really responded to that and played hard for the most part. Now, look, it's an all-star game. You're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to do crazy things. There was a point where Jeff Saturday switched teams and snapped to Peyton Manning, his longtime quarterback in Indianapolis. And then it was a special moment. He ended up, you know, that was his last snap. Absolutely. In the NFL. I mean, that's about as cool as it gets. Yeah. You know, so you're gonna see stuff like that. But I mean, what do you expect? Like, when you watch the Pro Bowl, like, what do you expect from these guys?
I mean, that's kind of what I expect. I mean, I see the Pro Bowl as an honor, and the game is just kind of an ancillary or whatever. Like, it's just kind of a secondary thing.
Right.
It doesn't come in the middle of the season. Like, the All-Star game in baseball, to me, was always like a big deal. Like, you know, the Midsummer Classic, mm-hmm. you know, all that. I could take it or leave it with, you know, the weight that they've added to it with the, like you were saying, with the World Series thing, hosting the World Series or not. But I expect basically what I saw. You know, I feel like you can't really expect like 100% effort out of those guys in a game that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I don't know that you go and try to make the game matter, though. I don't. I think you just go in. Like, look, it's tough because when you play basketball, when you play baseball, I mean, it's not like you play any differently.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into a situation where you're trying to talk about half-speed football or football where you're not kind of, you know, like if I'm a defensive lineman in the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's basically an unwritten rule that I don't play hard.
Yeah.
Because you're really not. I mean, you don't sack a quarterback in the Pro Bowl normally. I mean, you just maybe hug him and wait until they blow the whistle.
There
but
were six sacks in the Pro
Peyton
Bowl.
Manning got sacked. Peyton Manning got sacked.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, but you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like I was
blitzing.
Right. You can't blitz.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I mean, like, I get it. I get where it's not, you know, some people are kind of turned off by the whole idea of it, but I enjoyed watching it. This year especially, I thought it was, I thought the players did a fantastic job. But, you know, there's talks about how to change it, how to improve it, and things. But for me, just off the top of my head, I'll just go out and suggest it. I would say a skills competition.
Yeah.
And they used to do that. And they did that all the way, I think, until 2007, and they stopped doing that. But it was the reason, like, I watched. Like when you think about baseball, you think about Major League Baseball and their All-Star Game, and you've got the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
When you think about the NBA All-Star, you talk about the three-point contest and the slam dunk contest, although, you know, there's that slam dunk contest is a whole other can of worms there. But those are, like, the night before. Even the NHL All-Star Game, I'll watch their skills competition because it's fun to watch. It's cool. And I almost wish, like, you know, there was something, because really the way it is right now, it's just the Pro Bowl on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on, like, Saturday, you know? Like, what if you did a big skills competition on Saturday?
That'd be fun. I would definitely love to see that. I don't know necessarily what you could do, but, you know, we're just kind of throwing out things.
Well, you remember, like, quarterback challenge and, like
the fastest guy. I'd love to see those guys run.
Yeah. I mean, just the, I'm sure there's a lot of different stuff that you could do, but I used to love, you know, years ago when they used to do the skills competition. They would do it during the week, or the what would they do, like the Hall of Famers flag football game. You know, stuff like that. Like, that's, I don't know. I think you make more of an experience out of it, but
I know that the guys, you know, regardless of how they may, how it may appear, like in their effort on the field, I know they appreciate being there, and I think they get a big. I think for them, more important than the game is, like, you know, the week they spend or the couple of days they spend leading up to with some of those other guys.
Right.
You know, some of those, like, you know, like Hall of Famers with first-time Pro Bowlers. I mean, that's, they're getting a lot out of that experience.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, they you know, it should stay. It should be, they should continue on with it.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's just another fun thing to do, you know, especially where it falls now, leading up to the Super Bowl.
Right, right. Well, the only other thing that's coming up, let's see, on the calendar is the NFL Combine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Coming up in,
February
23rd, I believe it starts. Okay. And this is quickly becoming one of my favorite events of the football year. I mean, it really is. I love it. I enjoy. We didn't go last year. Don't know yet if we'll go this year. Hoping to go, but it's a lot of fun to, like, see all these guys in one place at one time, and
it's like the Mecca of the football world in February.
Yeah,
you know, because you know we went up in 2010.
Yeah,
2011. Whenever. Yeah. And it's all the draft eligible guys are there, or, you know, majority of them, they've been invited to the combine. But then you've got just about every, you know, major media outlet and personality there as well. And they're just walking around, and it's the off season, but it just reminds you of the machine that is the NFL, how popular it is.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that when we get to that point, we're gonna put a lot of stock, I'm sure, into, like, you know, the numbers and everything like that. And I know a lot of people call it the Underwear Olympics, you know, because I mean, how do you really judge a guy when he's running at his, you know, at his own leisure, so to speak, and not wearing pads and everything like that, and he's running a 40-yard dash, whatever. That, like, that's cool, but for me, I just like to see how all these guys kind of stack up. And I think from a team perspective, the stuff that happens off TV is the way more interesting stuff. And that's the interviews are way more interesting. And, you know, that's when teams really find out if somebody's a good fit for them, because they get those 10 or 15 minutes, however long it is. And I believe, to give you some context, I believe that teams are allowed to interview 60 or so players. It's right around 60. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, and they can get them for, like, I think 15 minutes max. And talk about anything.
The fascinating thing to me is the players don't know where they're headed.
Right.
They don't have a list. I mean, someone has an itinerary with
right.
The player himself does not know. So, you know, if he's got a meeting scheduled with Coach Smith and everybody from the Falcons, he doesn't know it. He just walks in the
right.
room,
right.
sits down, and there they are.
Right. It's very cool. It's and it's I can't even imagine being in the combine.
It's like, imagine it's the most difficult job interview you've ever had.
Yeah.
And then you have them one after another. For like
you have, yeah, you potentially have 32 of them.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. You know, I watched the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Caught a little bit of it, you know, about the first half and then part of the third quarter. A couple of seniors stood out to me. I think, you know, look, it's still very early for even you and me, and we haven't sat down and done our homework yet either, but just in preliminary stages, and we don't even know what the draft needs are, and, you know, it could be tight end, it could be defensive line, it could be whatever. I know a lot of the mocks have us going, you know, in these early stages, tight end or defensive line. So that's kind of where I paid attention a little bit, and you know, a couple of names that stuck out to me. This Margus Hunt kid from Southern Methodist is just a monster.
Estonian.
Yeah. Oh, what is 6'8" defensive end? Can you imagine? He is. He looks like he is. And then you've got Ezekiel Ansah. You know.
Right.
Ansah.
That's the guy from Texas.
No, he's from BYU.
Okay.
See?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
We got
literally with it 2 days ago, I kind of started thinking about the draft.
Yeah. That's fine. We'll give you a pass on that.
Okay,
but then you know, for me it just kind of I kind of look at the crop as a whole, because this year is going to be really good for defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's some very talented defensive ends, defensive tackles who are going to be in this draft.
Right.
And you know, maybe if that's the route you want to go, I think like you can pick up a very good one late in the first. You know, the Falcons pick it at number 30 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Or even in the second, or maybe even in the third. That's how deep this class seems to be this year.
And the first thing when we talk about the draft this year is the Falcons have the full complement of draft picks.
Yes.
So that's a great place to start. But the whole you know, like the whole mind-boggling thing about this is, what, 2 seasons ago, you know, we were just talking about this at the combine, and we're kind of targeting a couple of guys that we maybe want to talk to, or you know, maybe even play for the Falcons. The name Julio Jones never even like crossed our
exactly
our minds, and our fingers, anything.
And this is the funny thing is, like, you know, you and I will talk a lot about plenty of different players.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, Julio Jones was the pick 2 years ago, and we did a lot of stuff on like Adrian Claiborne and Kyle Rudolph and Ryan Kerrigan.
Hey, wait, I was super high on J.J. Watt.
Oh yeah, so was I.
Yeah, yeah.
So was I.
Yeah.
So was I.
So, you know, hey, we know what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. We can say that. And then, you know, last year was the tight end position,
mm-hmm.
Orson Charles, Kobe Fleener, if he would have fallen. You know, those were guys that... But this is what I was trying to say. I had a blog post earlier this week about... I'm seeing, like, mock drafts having us taking a tight end. And, like, look, it's kind of been a default position for mock drafts to take a tight end anyways. So... And Thomas still hasn't pulled the trigger on that. So who knows what's going to happen? And look, we've got free agency and everything else before then. But it's just interesting that this keeps coming up. Like, look, you know, Tony doesn't know what he's going to do. He's said all along that he's 95% sure he's retiring. Maybe this is the year you pull the trigger on that. Maybe it's not. Maybe you look in free agency for a tight end. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the mocks and the people who create the mocks keep looking at, okay, well, this is going to be a need at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't fault them for you know, making a tight end selection.
No.
You're not, for sure.
No.
Hey, I got a guy for you.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to write about him next week as we kind of start our draft spotlight process.
Yes.
Highlighting some guys, again, that you know maybe we think might be in play. Sam Montgomery, defensive end from LSU.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard a lot about his teammates, like that guy, Benny Logan, and then Barcavius Mingo.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
It's a great name.
This guy, but he's... Sam Montgomery, he led the team in sacks. I think he had 7. He led LSU in sacks with 7. 12 tackles for loss, 32 total tackles. He ranks 8th in LSU history with sacks with 18, and 9th in tackles for loss. That's at LSU, okay?
Yeah.
6'5", yeah, 260. He's a guy that's kind of been thrown out at me a little bit lately, and he's going to be who I begin with. But he's a guy that I think most places have kind of like a 32nd overall prospect, first and second round projected. So.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good guys available, and we'll preview those guys even more as we get closer to the combine and the draft, and maybe we do a little bit more homework on some of these guys, because
yeah,
you know,
prepared
I'm
in the coming weeks.
I'm not worried about you.
Okay.
I'm worried about me.
Oh, okay. Well, I will carry you, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you. But tweet us the guys that you're interested in knowing more about. We we'll definitely take that into account as we kind of focus on things here in the coming weeks. But so let us know. I'm pretty sure AJ's asleep at this point. He's just in the back of the room.
I had dozed off. I was in a little daze.
The draft bores you that much?
No, it doesn't. I wish I could be there, though. It seemed like that would be a fun...
It's fun.
Oh, man. AJ, the combine in Indianapolis is, it seems perfect for you.
Yeah, it really does. He could go around asking a lot of questions during the combine. It would be amazing.
Maybe I can sneak in somebody's luggage or something.
Maybe you can. Maybe you can. We'll see.
We can make that work.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for joining us this year.
Thank you for having me.
And Daniel and I will try to carry on the ship without you, but it's going to be tough. Hey. Having first of all, neither one of us have any musical talents as far as voice goes. I can maybe bring my guitar and play some guitar for people, but
you know what you could do?
What? Oh God! What?
You can phone me in on a podcast.
We could phone him in.
Yeah,
we could phone him in. Day. Yeah, maybe.
Phone home like E.T.
That's right. That's right.
We can make that happen.
We can make that happen.
I mean, you know, technology is a thing. Is a thing of the future, man.
And
we got all that stuff. Hey, we can make this thing work. Falcons fans don't have to know I'm not here.
That's true. Uh-huh. Maybe consider that.
Yeah.
Maybe have to consider that.
There we go.
Hopefully this isn't the last time you're on the podcast, huh?
No, it's not going to be my last
time. All right.
We're going to keep this thing going into next year.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, fans, thanks for joining us. We will continue to bring you a weekly podcast as much as we possibly can and talk about all things Falcons and NFL related and anything that may be on Daniel's mind at the moment.
Yeah, and maybe a phone call from AJ.
So make sure you keep tuning in. Thanks again for listening to the Falcon Cast podcast. I'm Jay Adams for Daniel Cox, AJ. Safe travels, my man.
Man, you know I'm always be here with you, man.
All right.